إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, my dear brothers and sisters, today one of the biggest questions that is facing us Muslims, and especially those of us who are interested in a little bit more than your personal welfare, and who recognize the fact that personal welfare is dependent on welfare of the community, and you cannot imagine that you are going to be well if the community is sick. That is fantasy. So for people like that who have at least that much of foresight or that much of concern, the big issue is to say, what should we do? So inshallah, today and next couple of days I want to share some thoughts with you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, in the ayat which we recited in the first rakat from Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَا إِكْرَهَ فِي الدِّينِ قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيِّ. Allah said, there is no compulsion in religion. The right and the wrong have been clearly demarcated. قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيِّ. The path of guidance and the path of misguidance have both been clearly shown and demarcated. This ayat came, the Asbab al-Nuzul, this ayat came when the Banu Nadir were being expelled from Medina for treason, for breaking the covenant with Rasulullah. And at that time, some of the Ansar, some of the Medinan Sahaba came to Rasulullah and they said that we used to leave our children with the Banu Nadir, because the Banu Nadir were the scholars of the Jews. And there was a superstition among the Arabs of the time. They had high infant mortality and high child mortality among the Arabs, and they felt that if the children lived with the Jews, they would survive. Maybe it had to do with the hygiene conditions, or Allah knows what. And also they would learn scriptures and so forth. So many of the Arab children were with the Jews, and they were brought up with the Banu Nadir as part of their community. So the parents of those children, they came up to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and they said that our children are with these people, so what should we do? Should we take our children back, or do our children go with them, or what happens? And naturally, if the children have been living with them and if they were treated well, naturally they were more attached to those people than they were to their own people. And that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, لَا إِكْرَهَ فِي الدِّينِ قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيِّ. On a side note, a lot of Muslims today try to use this ayat to justify haram. And if you tell them something, they say, no, لَا إِكْرَهَ فِي الدِّينِ. لَا إِكْرَهَ فِي الدِّينِ came for the non-Muslims. It did not come for the Muslims. It came for the general janta to tell them that the path of guidance and the path of misguidance are clear. Choose whichever you want. For the Muslims, there is the ayat is, سَمَعْنَا وَعَطَانَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. We have heard and we will obey. O our Lord, forgive us, because to you is our return. There is no لَا إِكْرَهَ فِي الدِّينِ for Muslims. You decide whether you are in Islam or not in Islam. That is where لَا إِكْرَهَ فِي الدِّينِ comes. Once you are in Islam, then the rules of Islam apply to you. And if you do not want the rules of Islam to apply to you, then go. Leave. There is لَا إِكْرَهَ فِي الدِّينِ. There is no compulsion on you to remain Muslim. قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيِّ. The two paths have been clearly demarcated. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى لَا انْفِصَامَ لَهَا. Allah said, the one who has denied the kufr and accepted Islam, he has grabbed a handhold, he has grabbed a grip which will never break. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us among them. The reason I am saying this is because this is a very good ayat to illustrate what I am going to say, which is, what do you do in a situation where you are in turmoil, in stress, and surrounded by all kinds of problems like we are now? Now my theory is, you apply what I call LPA. Look, plan, act. I call this LPA, Lok Plan Act. Now, what is the meaning of Lok? Lok is the Lok means to see with both eyes open and without trying to deny what you are seeing. So, not just look, but to see, to observe, to notice, to recognize the signs, to recognize and accept the implications, to recognize and accept the consequences, to do a historical comparison and say, this is the situation that I find myself in, this is the situation that we collectively find ourselves in. What does this compare to historically? Was I or were we in a similar situation in the past? What did we do then? What worked for us? What did not work for us? This is the meaning of look, right? What I find, as far as the Muslims are concerned, alhamdulillah, I've been recently I've had the opportunity to do a workshop for a very large national Muslim organization, and also in South Africa for some other leadership and Muslim think tanks. And one of the things, and also 2 years ago in Malaysia, also for a very high-powered think tank, one of the things that I find is collective self-induced blindness. This, I think, is the form. It seems as if we tell ourselves enough times that we are fine, that we will actually be fine. So I suggest to go and do this hospitals here where people are sick, right? Tell them to say, I am okay. And let everybody, like a chorus, say, we are okay, we are okay. What do you think will happen? Collective self-induced blindness. There is a, you know, the Mahabharata. I suggest that everyone should read the Mahabharata. It's a very interesting book to read, and a lot of lessons. I read it many years ago when I was in actually college. And amazing lessons to learn. And one of the biggest and first lessons that I learned is the problem with self-induced blindness. I learned this lesson when I was in college. Just out of school, by reading the Mahabharata. Because the mother of the Kauravas, the father was blind anyway, so the mother decided that she said, how can I see when my husband does not see? Now, what should have happened is, I should see because my husband does not see, so we can guide people. But she said, how can I see when my husband does not see? And she tied a blindfold and she remained self-induced blindness. And as we say, the rest is history. She created a family which destroyed itself. Self-destruct process happened because the one who could have seen, the one who could have influenced, chose to blindfold herself. And very interestingly, her reason for blindfolding was, on the face of it, a good reason. She's trying to have empathy with her husband. My husband cannot enjoy the sights of the world, and therefore, I am a good wife, and therefore, why must I enjoy the sights of the world? Seems like a nice theory. But as we say, it results in disaster. So the point is that this is where we are, self-induced blindness. I overheard a conversation in that workshop which I was doing for the national organization, where one of the top leaders of the organization, they said that we have a cadre and we have a work ethic, and we have dedication that is unparalleled in this country. So I first thought to myself, we are in a Muslim organization, so obviously the man is not drunk. And it is like 12 o'clock in the, just before Zohar, so maybe he is not on drugs. I wanted to ask him, what are you smoking? So I said to them, shall I tell you the name of an organization whose cadre is far superior to yours and whose dedication is 10,000 times better than yours? So they named another Muslim organization. They said, is it that? I said, no. I said, it is the RSS. And I said, the proof of that is that Modi is the Prime Minister. Yeah, I'm giving you facts. You may not like the facts. That's not my problem. Don't like it. Who cares? Self-induced blindness. So when we look, my submission to you is that we Muslims collectively are indulging in self-induced blindness. We are in deep processed grass. And we have got used to the smell, to the point that we now even like the smell. We like the smell. So the first thing to decide is, are you a human being or are you a dung beetle? Because if you are a dung beetle, then you are in the right place. You are surrounded by nutrition. But if you are not a dung beetle, then what are you doing in this pile of processed grass? Seriously, I'm asking a very serious, straightforward question. What are we Muslims, so-called Muslim leadership? It's an absolute sham. Yesterday, somebody sent me from Bangalore, one of the many Muslim schools. They sent me this thing saying, all our children have passed SSLC and they've all got high first classes and we've got two who got in their 90s results. And this is a great result. What is great about that result? You have a system which tests only memory. I'm saying that there's a challenge. Find me your best, absolutely number one topper student from any school of yours. Bring him to me. And if he lasts before me for 5 minutes by the clock, I will take my turban and I will throw it at his feet and I will walk out of this masjid and I will never do imamat in this masjid for the rest of my life. You have a lousy, stinking system called education, where the only thing you measure is memory. Random recall memory. Makes absolutely no sense. If somebody scores 99%, all you are saying is that he is randomly able to recall answers to the questions that were given to him within that time frame. That's it, period. Does he have knowledge? No. Does he have understanding? No. Does he know how to apply that knowledge? No. What can he do with this knowledge? He can do... I'm trying to keep control of my language because of where I'm sitting. But self-induced blindness. You don't want to see any of this. You want to fool yourself to say that we have a great education system. We are getting great results. We've got these kids doing 90s. And just go back in history. Your kids have been doing 90s for the last 10 years. Where are they today? They're standing in the line with a bowl in their hands, begging for jobs here and there. How many new businesses are started? How many new discoveries are there? How many new inventions? All these colleges, how many new things have you created? Nothing, zero. Absolutely zero. Very simple. We have got 90s. So what? That 90s means absolutely nothing. I'm sorry if you don't like that. That is the actual reality. And as I told, I'll prove it. It's not a matter. I will prove it. Bring your best student, sit him in front of me. If he lasts 5 minutes, I am willing to put my reputation on the line. It's not the fault of the kid. It is not the fault of the child. What is he going to do? You are putting him in that system. He didn't ask to go there. It's you. You the parents. You the so-called community leaders. You the so-called people who run the schools. Smell the aroma. That is where you are. So look, first part. Tomorrow, inshallah, we look at the second part. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalala to open our eyes and to enable us to see the situation that we are in, so that then we are able to do what it needs to be and what needs to be done to take us out of the situation. Because seriously, we have to get out of the situation if we want to survive as a people in this world. We are on the point of extinction. I'm not talking about death. Extinction. We are already almost irrelevant and we are on the point of becoming completely and totally irrelevant. Grass exists. Do you want to be grass?
That's my point. Grass will not disappear. So don't think we will all die. We will not die. We are too many to kill. Nobody can kill 1.5 billion people in the world. But that is immaterial. The people who want to destroy this religion and destroy this Ummah, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they don't even want to kill you. Why would they want to kill you? The world needs slaves. And we are very good slaves. Now you decide, do you want to be a slave? And if you don't want to be a slave, then you have to get off your sit-upon and do something useful with your life. And the first part of that is to look. Stop fooling yourself. Take off the blindfold. And then we can get somewhere, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do what it takes to take the actions that we need to take, to do the planning that we need to plan, to achieve the results that will inshallah be in our favor in this dunya wal akhirah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.